Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to open the Word here and look at something that's both exciting and terrifying. The presence of God is exciting and terrifying. Amen. Amen. I mean, if God fully showed Himself, why do angels come and the first thing they would say so often in the Scriptures is, fear not. Why? Because they were going, oh. Right? Praise the Lord. So fear not. Jesus Himself had to say that. Fear not. So when the manifestation, the presence of God and so on, when things happen, it can be both wonderful and terrifying at the same time. Amen. So early in the week, already Monday, a scripture came up in my heart. And okay, I know where we're going. The love of God. We saw the love of God in manifestation, I believe, in a great way last week. And last week, really what we talked about is at some point in time, in seeking God as your provider, as your deliverer, as the one who fights battles for you and so on, at some point in time, it has to be about Him, not just what He can do for you. The prodigal son found out that when his provision ran out, so did the friends. And we need to make sure that we're more than the friends of the prodigal. That when his money runs out, God's money never runs out, but He knows your heart, so He knows when he's being sought for only the benefits. We're just making a point of, at some point in time, your heart really better be about Him, not just what He does for you. We know from the Scriptures, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, from the book of Romans. And further, what we established some weeks ago, and we're working still, is faith comes by hearing, but according to Galatians, it works by love. In other words, if there's issues with one's love walk, faith comes, but it's not operational. And that's one of the things that would explain why so many people hear the same word, might express the same words of confession and faith, but they get different results in their lives. And as we talk about love, a couple things. There's human love, and then there's God's love. Human love will quit. Human love is fickle. It has limitations and ends. Now, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, well, now, that far exceeds my love and my ability. I'm commanded to walk in love like Jesus did. Well, that's God's love. That's divine love. That's perfect love. And would Jesus command me to do something I cannot do? No, that would be entirely unfair of Him to command me to do something that's impossible, that can't be done. So I can do that. It comes down to yielding to the love of God. Instead of getting stirred up, I'm so angry, I'm so hurt, I'm so mad, I don't like this, whatever it is, I fell in love, I'm falling out of love. No, you go, no, the love of God would endure all things, believe all things, hope all things, is patient, it's kind, and just when you want to lash out, you go, wait a minute, kind, patient. And we can do that. Why? Because the Scriptures say that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by His Spirit. What does that mean? That means when we got born again, the very love of God was poured into us. It's in there. Whether you pull it up and use it is a separate matter, but it's there. Well, I just can't go that far. I just can't stand that. Well, you can't, but the love of God can. And that's when it's time to yield. Yield. Hold yourself back and say, no, the love of God would give a soft answer. The love of God would give no answer. The divine love, the love of God, the love that we're to walk in, I have described four facets. First of all, it's how we love others. To truly walk in the love of God is to even not feel the hurt anymore. Well, I don't know about you, but I've got some work to do. in that category. So how we love others, the first facet, how we love ourselves. You have to see who you are in Christ. Number one, forgiven. Some folk can't forgive themselves. I know you forgive others, but me, I'm going to pay extra on this. I'm going to stay sorry a long time. That is a manifestation of pride. And of course, the enemy will help you stay in that state as well. So how long should I spend? I can't believe I did that. I can believe you could do it, but I can't believe I did. Can you see the pride? So it has to be, Lord, cleanse me and forgive me and receive it and move on and don't linger in that. Amen. Love is patient, right? I wonder sometimes those that are watching the stream or later, you know, what's going on? What's going on there? Well, Pastor Sandy speaks up, and with her brain injury, she speaks whatever she thinks. And even in church, she'll call me hot and sexy. You might say, well, that's not appropriate. Well, she doesn't understand that quite just yet. And we're believing and we walk in love towards her. And some of you said it's almost cute. Yeah, but when you hear it thousands of times. So anyway, so those of you watching the stream, that's what's happening. So loving ourselves is what I was talking about. We need to see ourselves in Christ, what He's made us to be. And to love yourself is to minister forgiveness just as quick as you would anybody else. So loving ourselves. Number three, how we love God. How we love God. We have to walk in love toward God. Walk in not love of human measure. Well, I give God this, and I give this, and we got an understanding, and that's as good as He gets from me, and He knows my heart, you know, all that kind of stuff. No, that don't cut it. And that's the one we're going to talk about a little bit more today. That's probably what it was all about even last week. Show me Your face. Show me Your glory. That's to be a real hunger and a real desire. Love God the way He desires to be loved. And the fourth facet of the love of God, we've talked about on other occasions, is an understanding or a revelation of how God loves us. Boy, when you grab hold of that, that immeasurable, never-ending, unlimited love of God for you and for others. To me, it's a big thing, because when I know He wants to bless me and take care of me, I start getting out of the way and letting Him do it. There's times when people give to me, and I understand, receive it humbly, because they want to show their love for you. Need to do that with the Lord. The Lord wants to show you great things. And I'm going to show you that a little bit today. And you have to receive that love. Now, when husband and wife or close friends and so on, one expresses love, makes it easy for the other to express love, and it increases and it grows. Same thing with God. Let God love you. Love Him in return. And He goes, oh, it's so awesome blessing you. And He blesses you and loves on you some more. And you love God even more. And it's this ascending, close walk and relationship with God. And if you see somebody that is just overflowing with blessing of God, with presence of God. Somebody that maybe comes to mind is Brother Jesse Duplantis. Is just spilling out everywhere. But listen to him talk. He's loving on people. He's ministering forgiveness and how much God, you know, he's just further along maybe than I am in some of this understanding on these things, on receiving, understanding the love of God. So that's the four facets. So we really talked about last week, it's critical that we love God for who He is, not just what He can do for us. Now, I know when I have a need, say a financial need, I know where to go. I go to God. He meets my needs. I know that. But I don't seek Him, His, we'll put it this way, you've heard this expression, Seek the face of God, not just the hand of God. I know when I seek His face, I have His hand. His hand's extended to me when I extend mine to His. What comes to mind right here is the 10 lepers. Jesus healed 10 lepers or cleansed 10 lepers. And the 10, He said, go show yourself to the priest. You'll be declared cleansed. But they were cleansed as they went. But one turned around and came back and showed gratitude and thankfulness and love to Jesus. And that one happened to be a non-covenant. It wasn't even a covenant person. But Jesus said, where are the other nine? In other words, I met their need. Where's their responding love and gratitude? Jesus was looking for the love and gratitude, not just take care of their need. Now, He took care of their need. And by the way, while we're here, the others were cleansed. But Jesus said to that one, you shall be made whole. And it was a word for restore everything lost. With the nine, what we understand there is that their disease was stopped. But for the one that returned to give thanks, not only was the disease cured and stopped, but everything he lost was restored and put back. That's better. That's far better. And in the case of leprosy, which I understand is a disease of the nerves, people start losing fingers and hands, and faces become disfigured and so on. They don't feel when they injure themselves. It doesn't heal well. An infection, basically, you start losing parts. The one who returned to love Jesus back got his fingers restored, his face restored. Financially, when they're leprous, they couldn't work. They couldn't carry on a trade. He probably was destroyed financially, depended on people to feed him, and so on. But now, his finances back. We want to see the face of God. We want to worship God and follow God for who He is. We'll have His provision in hand. And even if we successfully get His blessing, He gets us out of a jam, we get some money, we may not get a whole lot more than that. We may not get it again, you see. Although He's merciful and He'll allow us to come again and again and again, eventually we won't get what He would desire to give to us. And we're going to see that today, as a matter of fact. If you find his face, you'll find His hand too. Amen. I want the presence of God while I lead and pastor a church, or I don't want to pastor a church. It could be 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, I'd still say the same thing. Amen. And with that many people, there'd probably be lots of money involved, and I could probably be very, very comfortable. But if it was at the cost of the face of God, the presence of God, I don't want it. And I'm not saying large churches have made that compromise. Probably many have. Probably there are those that have not. But anyway, or said another way, seeking the presence of God, after all, success on the earth was God's idea. If He'll seek the presence of God, God will bring him into the promised land. See what I'm saying? And anything that you and I can come up with that we want to see our bodies healed, we want to see plenty of finances, we've got things we want to do and accomplish, all of that, those are God's idea in the first place. So He's going to lead us and bring us into those things anyway if we're with Him, follow Him, and have His presence and His face. You see me? Okay, let's go to John chapter 6 and verse 26. This is after Jesus broke the loaves and fishes and fed the multitudes. In John 6, 26, it says, Jesus answered them and said, actually, this is the day after. He had walked across the water, crossed the sea, and they went looking for Him, found Him in another place, and asked Him, Master, how'd you get here? And He answers them the question that they really had but weren't saying out loud. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. They were seeking out the presence of Jesus so that they could eat food. They showed up for the free meal, showed up for the freebies. Many years ago, back when newspaper advertising was a thing, I was talking to a newspaper person about placing an ad for our church, a particular event, and there was going to be free food. This newspaper guy said, be careful with that F word. F word? Yeah, free. Be careful with that, because you might get all kind of, anyway. People want free stuff. Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And he goes on, but that's enough for now. Later, Jesus says some things about, I am the bread of life. And unless you eat my flesh, you have no part of me. And people are going, what is that? And he makes it even more difficult, and he says, unless you drink my blood. Scriptures call that hard sayings, and it says that many disciples left him after he said that. And then he turns to the disciples. You fellas going to leave too? He actually invited them to leave. The Lord won't chase you down and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean what I said, that kind of thing. But anyway, Peter said, where else will we go? You have the words of life. So Peter was after the words of life, the bread of life, not free food. Jeremiah 29:11, please. I said a little while ago, I'm going to share something both exciting and terrifying. Well, when it came up in my heart, I was fully excited and not terrified at all. Maybe it just depends on what you're prepared to do. I'm prepared to just fully seek the face of God. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. 13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, the Lord has plans and future. The Lord hears. He has thoughts of peace and not of evil. In other words, He wants to bless. But we see here, He does that when we seek with all of our hearts. This is why you might pray and sense immediately the presence of God, and other times you might pray and it's like nothing. And the next day, nothing. And the next day, nothing. And the next day, nothing. Do you quit? Do you keep going? Do you seek by faith? Do you persevere? When you seek with all your heart, what does that mean? That means you just about expend all you've got seeking Him. There's not a reserve. Well, if you're just going to be difficult about it, forget it. No, seek with all your heart. And for that to be walked out and demonstrated, God's going to have to let you wait. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? Nobody wants to wait. Much of what happened last week, and as I told the story last week as well, I was pretty seriously seeking God a couple of weeks. Well, I'll admit a certain amount of desperation. I need an answer. I need direction. God, I need to know where we at, what's going on. I need to know, is there something I need to correct? God, is there something I need to do? Am I missing it somewhere? And all that kind of thing. So sometimes, just being human, it's when we get desperate enough. Do you have to be desperate? No. Be good to just walk in these things day by day. The enemy opposes us. Did you notice that? comes to mind Daniel seeking the Lord and fasting, and talks about 21 days. Well, that's 3 weeks, right? And as we read in the book of Daniel, we see that the archangel Gabriel was sent and gave him answers that he was looking for in prayer. And Gabriel tells that he was dispatched from heaven with an answer immediately on the first day. But he talks about being withstood, fighting demonic forces, and it took 21 days for him to come through the opposition of demonic forces for an archangel to get to him with the answer. That tells us that we on the first day may have an answer given and dispatched and sent to us. Yet the enemy opposes the answer, starts causing things to happen around us to cause maybe for us to break off and say, well, this ain't working, opposing the answers of God, and it may take time to get to us. And that's why you keep seeking and you keep seeking. That's why you persevere. That's why you seek, as Jeremiah wrote here, with all your heart. If you don't have an answer today, you keep going. You don't have the answer tomorrow, you keep going. You don't have the answer the day after, you keep going. So we are to diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It takes faith to keep on seeking Him, doesn't it? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and sometimes the two biggest words in the Bible are if and. And that He is a rewarder. Anybody in here believe God is? Yes. You believe He's a rewarder? Yes. There's a clause. He's a rewarder of everybody? All Christians. Everyone who's a part of Renew Church. Because we just have such a blessed church. A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you desire the reward, need the reward, whatever, diligence, diligence, diligence. You're going to have to diligently seek the reward? No. Seek Him. So we are to diligently seek the one who is the rewarder, not the reward. It may be that you need some money in the house. Okay, fine. Find God. And we're told in the Scriptures, let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. So in other words, seeking God would be, God, I just want to tell you how thankful I am, and start listing everything He's thus far done for you. And I would just want to thank you. I have a need, and I'm going to let you know about it here. I need such and such. But I thank you right now that even my future needs and my present needs, they also are met because you're faithful. You're reliable. And I love you. And more than I want the stuff, I want you. And I need to know, is there a place I've misstepped? Is there something I need to do? We seek Him. We seek Him. And thinking back, I realized the significance of some of these things. My greatest moment of need was in a hospital emergency room when I saw my wife suffer that aneurysm, and she went down. And I knew immediately by how they were acting and everything, she is either already dead or about to die or so close you couldn't find the line. And I knew the healing Scriptures. We say the healing Scriptures. I know the heart of God. I know that by His stripes we are healed. I know that John 10:10 tells me Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Yet I also know I could miss it. She could miss it. There could be something that I'm not aware, all of that. But anyway, the first thing I did was not address her body or the enemy. First thing I did was ask God, what do you say here? I sought the face of God to find out about the blessing. And as I did, I had an immediate answer about the blessing of life for her. Amen. But I asked the appropriate question, I think. God, what do you say? So once I knew what he said, then I could pick up what he said. And it would be anointed and powerful and effective. Amen. So we seek, I didn't seek her life first. I sought his face first. And it affected and saved her life. Can you see that? Amen. Amen. So when you find him, you find the reward. Because he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you need the reward, just find him. When you find him, he is the rewarder. That's going to happen because of who he is. Not because you phrased it just right. Not because you worked it just right. Not because you confessed a particular scripture. Not because you repeated it 10,000 times. It's because you got to where he is, and that's what he is. He's the rewarder. But you see what's necessary? Diligently seeking him. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. And here now is the scripture that came up in my heart last Monday. Just almost early. I mean, I'm just kind of still glowing from the day before Sunday service. Here it comes, you know. It says this in the 9th verse. You like to get happy and excited and shout? Woo! Well, this would be a good place to do that. Then we'll talk about a little bit more about the condition. But it says, 2 Chronicles 16, 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. In other words, he's looking. He's looking. He's looking. He's looking. He's looking for something. He's looking for someone. Oh, is he looking for me? God, are you looking for me? He's looking, and he's searching the whole earth. He runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. Ooh, that sounds good. On behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God is looking to show out. God is looking, where can I show up? God is looking, where can I exercise my strength? Where can I do great things? Who can I do them for? Who can I be mighty for? Who can I do miracles for? Who can I take from down low and raise them on high? Who can I bless? Who can I put blessing in their hand? Who can I heal? Who can I prosper? Oh, I just want to prosper somebody today. Where is the one that I can prosper? He's looking. He's looking. He's looking. Where can I prosper somebody? Where can I heal somebody? Where can I restore somebody? Where can I show how strong I am? Where can I show how great I am? I want just somebody to let me show. Could it be you? Could it be you? Not new immediately. He's just reminded me. Oh, son, I want to bless you. I want to show myself mighty. Yes. When the might of God shows up, we are in miracle territory. Yes. We are talking slaying giants, yes, taking the promised land. Yes. We're talking about financial miracles. Yes. We're talking about great abundance and prosperity. We're talking about health in our bodies, miracles in our bodies, restoration of relationships. We're talking about stuff that God can do that you can't. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he's looking.
Amen.
He's looking. Well, now, Lord, here I am. Have you ever heard somebody say, and it's, I'm realizing it's one of the stupidest things you could ever say, well, God knows where I am. Yeah, he does. And you're not where you should be. He's looking across the whole earth. And when it says he runs to and fro, that means he's having a little trouble finding. He's searching the earth. He's searching the earth. He's looking for something that is too rare. I tried that faith stuff. It didn't work. God is looking for who he can show himself mighty for. And somebody that says something like that, he can't show himself mighty for that one. Whew, God has showed himself mighty. We are accustomed to miraculous in our house. Now, don't ever mistake something that happens over time for not being miraculous. The blessing of God is all over my house. When I say house, I'm talking about the people too. I was just thinking while we were singing this morning, you know, one of the greatest things I'm thankful for and the mighty power of God in my life is we have 4 kids and we raise them and we never had to fight the world for them. I mean, I don't know if that's the way to phrase that, but they never went the way of the world. Talk about blessing in my house. Amen. God wants to show himself strong for you. And to show himself strong, that's not just a little bit of help. No, we're talking about full-blown, big-time. If God didn't do it, it wouldn't have happened. Now, there's seasons of need. There's need around us right now. There's need in my house right now. There's seasons of that. But I am diligently seeking and finding the face of God, and I know what will happen. He will show himself, he has, and he will continue to show himself mighty on my behalf. Yes. Folks, you're looking at a miracle. In my house, in your house, in our house, there's been miracles in this church. Amen. And God wants to show himself mighty on your behalf as well. Now it says something here. Show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Like all the promises of God, it is conditional. It is conditional. If you're not receiving the blessings of God, review it again, the promise. Is it conditional? Then the obvious question is, am I meeting the conditions? And if I'm not, I can't blame God, and I can't blame others, and I can't say it's an untruth. Just because somebody's not receiving a promised blessing doesn't mean it's untrue or not for today or that faith stuff doesn't work. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. You just don't qualify. That is the great thing in people today is they don't want to be accountable. Anything that puts the responsibility on them, you can't just sit home and expect God to send a check in the mail when you're able-bodied and there's help wanted signs out. Put your hand to work somewhere. Do something. Get started. The promises are conditional. God will bless the work of your hand. Well, if there is none, he's got nothing to bless. And other things as well. But it says that he searches the earth for those whose heart is loyal. If I just change the order, the Lord goes to and fro throughout the earth searching for whose heart is loyal that he may show himself mighty on that person's behalf. So what he's looking for is loyal hearts, loyal hearts. This can be said about wealth and money too. All that wealth does is reveal the person that's there. All it does is enhances the influence and the voice of the individual. Sometimes people say money corrupts. No, the individual was already corrupted, and money now gave them the power to do what they want. And now you see it. So it's not the money that corrupts them. The money is a revealer of the heart. So God is looking for loyalty before he can show himself mighty. That's the terrifying part. I know me. I could do more. I could love God more. You know, am I loving him enough? Am I loyal enough? Maybe that doesn't strike you as terrifying, but it does me. Wow, that could be really something. And before we jump up and say, loyal to him, well, that's me. That's me. I think most believers would say that they're loyal to him. Yeah, we better find out what God says is loyal before we say, I'm loyal. If we think back to the Ten Commandments, and there is nowhere in the Scripture where the Ten Commandments were rescinded, he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Well, I don't have any other gods, and I certainly don't put them before you. Are you sure about that? Because just about anything can be an idol or a god. But I don't believe in them. Are you sure about that? A lot of folks would say, oh, I'm loyal. I'm loyal. I'm loyal. I'm loyal to God. Are you sure about that? Maybe we better find out what he says about that. Now, the context and setting of this scripture, it's the words of the prophet Hanani, I think is how you pronounce his name, but the words of the prophet to King Asa in Israel. And the prophet was sent because Asa made a mistake and misstepped. And this word of the prophet, though it sounds exciting, actually was a word of judgment. So we need to know a little more about this story. Let's go to still the 16th chapter, the 7th verse, two verses ahead of this. And that at that time, Hanani, the seer or prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped your hand. Okay, let's stop there for a second. Asa is under attack by the king of Syria. They have had battle, and rather than Asa having complete and total victory over the enemy escaped without being defeated. He turned, we'll get it if I just read on. Verse 8. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? We won't go there, but if you'll research other scriptures, you'll find out Ethiopians came against them, great armies came against them, and they call a fast, seek the Lord, get the word of the Lord, and they utterly defeat much larger armies. God gives them victory. But here comes another threat, and this time, instead of everybody, let's seek the face of God, he makes a treaty with the king of Syria to come and help him. In other words, Asa kept looking to God for help, but this time he went to the king of Syria for help. Okay, are we following now? I don't mean to sound confusing, maybe I did, but Asa had previously, under great threat, received miracle victories in battle because he would turn to the Lord and relied on the Lord. This time, made a treaty with another king to deliver him and help him. Now, to have treaties, is that a problem? Okay, if God says to. But God, we needed you this time and we needed you this time. I think the answer is a natural answer this time. That got him in trouble. That got him in a lot of trouble. Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Now, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this, turning to the king of Syria, "In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars." Let me paraphrase it. You want to turn to another king? You want to turn to some natural help? You want to turn to somebody to bail you out? Okay, now you're going to fight these kinds of battles from now on. That is the opposite of what the Lord called loyal to Him. Well, I would never do this. Anytime we've turned to, in a time of great need, something to bail us out instead of the Lord, we've done the same thing. And we would be found with a disloyal heart. And then He cannot show Himself mighty. Now, an example might be you run to a family member for a loan, or I'm just going to have a second job. Now, both of those at times might be okay, and other times it's what we go to because we're not seeking God. And it may be kind of hard to find an example here, but know this, if you're going to search out and find the natural remedy rather than God and what He explains or instructs you to do, you're going to have to keep going to natural remedy. If it's always, well, I'll just work more hours. I can't come to church because I have to work 7 days a week. I was in that spot for a while. And we found the scripture, Sandy and I, many years ago, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, food, shelter, clothing, shall be added to you. I was working weekends, not going to church, because we needed those things. And I was confronted with that scripture, seek first the kingdom. So we had to decide, I seek more work or I seek God and His kingdom. For Sandy and I, we decided we were going to seek God and His kingdom. And at that time, I was making way more on the weekend, the second job, than I was on the primary job. So we gave up the money and the job, and then from then on, I'm going to be in church every Sunday, and God met our needs. He added to us everything that we needed. It was tough for a while, but I knew that there was not an answer of more work and more work and more work. It's seek the kingdom first. That's the difference between a loyal heart and one that God would call disloyal. 1 John 4:16 in the Amplified. And we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of, by observation and experience, and believe, and here we want to see this fuller explanation of believe, and believe, adhere to, put faith in, and rely on the love of God, the love God cherishes for us. God is love. We need to rely on the love of God, not look to be relieved another way. You following me? When we just would go someplace like, there is a time for borrowing money. But if we just, we'll just go to the bank and get a loan. We'll just put it on the credit card. We'll just, all those kinds of things. You can get to where you rely on loans and not God. Or any number of things. Folks, the government is not our source. Amen. Thinking that the government's going to meet our needs. Now, you better rely on God. One thing we can know about government and nations, all of them fail. Think of any of the great empires of the world throughout history. None of them exist. And there may be great empires today on the world. Every one of them will fail and fall. You mean the United States of America too? Well, sure is heading that way fast. all of them will fail. What's the answer? The answer is to rely on the love of God. So, back to Asa, King Asa. Asa had put his faith in and relied on God for deliverance from enemies on several occasions before, but this time he turned to another king. Sometimes we see God meet us this need and this need and this need, but this time I think I got this one. Maybe you increase in resources and wealth and you start thinking, I got it, I got it, I got it. When even in wealth, you better turn to God. The world has a saying, easy come, easy go. Wealth and riches can be gone very fast. And so the one who might attain to wealth better never diminish their reliance on God. Because he failed to keep his heart loyal to God, he would have battles from then on. You go this way, this is how it's going to be. It becomes a lifestyle. Do you know anybody that seems to have trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble? You know, sit there and smile and look good because you might be saying, yeah, that's me. Trouble after trouble after trouble. But you can win. You might say there's some trouble visiting our lives right now, Pastor Sandy and I. But as I look back, we have never lost a battle. All the steps and her progression along the way, all the resources and money we've needed and so on, we have never lost a battle. And I'm careful always to seek him and to rely on him and to talk to him. It is not time for me to look for an alternative. Just because there's a battle now, well, we'll defeat this giant just like we defeated every other giant. Amen. What then is a loyal heart in the eyes of God? We better pick up his definition, not our own. Oh, I'm loyal. I'm Mr. Loyal. If you look at my driver's license, it will say Daniel Mr. Loyal Bolt, right? You better find out what he says, not what we say. That word in the Hebrew language, interesting, this surprised me, but I looked it up. It's defined as finished, completed. So if we would put that in that scripture, God is looking for a finished, completed heart. Now, why did the translators choose loyal? I don't think it's a bad choice, considering all the context and what's going on there, but finished and completed. Understand it this way. Asa was not finished in his relying on God. Asa was not completed in his reliance on God. Now, it's another separate language in Greek, but in the New Testament, the word perfect, we are made perfect in Christ. Perfect, the word perfect is used. It has a similar definition, to be completed, to be mature, to be finished. God is looking for finished hearts. And we all maybe would say, well, he's not finished with me yet. He's not completed me yet. Yet on the other hand, there's levels of maturity that God's looking for, levels of completeness that he finds in us. In other words, I'll say it this way. If he looks at my life and he finds that given all I've grown through, all revelation I have in the Word, all the renewing of my mind that I have, I'm complete in that I don't leave it looking for an alternative. Very few of us would have experienced this way, but you can go through military training and be in part of a fighting force and so on, and you go through basic, you go through some things, you're thought to be ready for battle, and then the bullets start flying back at you, and it's a moment of truth. Do you run in battle? Do you falter in battle? Or do you stand and fight with courage? We may have a whole lot of training. We may have a whole lot of instruction. We may have a whole lot of knowledge of the Word. But when the bullets are flying at you, do you stand fast? Let's call that one loyal and finished and completed. It's a different thing. You can think yourself a great soldier, but then here comes the battle. And what if the fire gets heavy? Real heavy. There are some outstanding examples in military of great heroes who under fire go and pull their buddies back and save people. And any number of them have lost their lives saving others and so on. That's someone loyal. They say in the Marines, military and so on, they're not fighting for their country, they're fighting for their buddy next to them. That's loyalty. That's complete. That's finished. The proof of it is you stay in the battle. Asa didn't stay in the battle relying on the Lord. He went looking elsewhere. That's what we're to have as an understanding of what it is to be disloyal, to not be finished or complete. Now, we know that the Lord will limit the scope of battle. Remember, no temptation or test has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested or tempted beyond what you are able. So the battles get bigger and more fierce, but they're never beyond the completeness you have thus far. Does that make sense? Are you following? You might say, well, he's not done with me yet. Well, he's not done with me yet either. But he's completed a work in me that has been sufficient to every battle so far. Amen. And I have stayed loyal in that measure that way. When we look for help somewhere other than from God, when we rely on something else, we are not loyal, we are not finished, we are not complete. We then lose the benefit and reward of help from God and are limited to other sources. And those sources could never do what God does, so we have battles from then on. There have been times where I feel utter despair and utterly alone and, oh, it's difficult times, right? And I want to call somebody and have them help me. I've wanted to call my pastor and just pour out my hurt to him and have him pray with me and help me. But I've told my pastor many times, I usually don't call you until after it's over with, because I want to depend on God. I know that you love me. I know that you'll care for me. I know that you'll help me. But I'm going to make sure I've called on God and heard from God first before I ask you. Now, there's a time when you need others to help you get to God. And so I'm not saying, don't ever call me. I'm your pastor. Don't ever call me until you got the answer. Well, once you got the answer, you don't need to call me, you know. But there's times when James wrote, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders who will anoint him with oil. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. The literal translation of sick there is there anyone among you beyond helping themselves? That can come. And probably we have all been there when we are just in a spot kind of beyond helping ourselves. But if we'll mature, if we'll grow, if we'll have levels finished, completed, we'll have less and less of that, and we'll get to a point, no matter what it is, we go to God first, and we seek Him with all our heart, and we may or may not talk to other people about it. Yes. Nothing wrong with talking to other people about your need, but it's not first. Right. It's not first. Don't run to prayer partner. Don't run to pastor. Don't run to mama. Don't run to daddy. Don't run to anybody but to God. Following me? Yeah. This is what we're talking about, is loyal. Seek God's answer, not other answers. We lose the benefit and the reward of help from God and are limited to other sources. And those sources could never do what God does, so we have battles from then on. I may have said that, but now, sometimes you can just hear somebody responding to you, right? Well, I always look to God. And I always ask for help. Yeah, you look to God and you ask for help and it drags on and then you finally say, well, I guess we got to go get a loan. Were you really loyal to God? Someone who says, I always look to God, but they'll refuse to bring in the tithe, which rebukes the devourer. Can't afford to tithe. It was the answer provided from God. Seems like everything falls apart, gets consumed, and we just have continuous trouble. Are you tithing? Which is God's answer that He's given us to rebuke the devourer. They say, I always look to God, but they refuse the offering, which brings in the harvest. You want the harvest? Got to bring the offering, which is God's answer. Well, no, I just asked God for help, and He's provided your help. Here's a promise. So, or let's say it this way, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. No, I'm asking for help, God, not for an offering. I ask for help, God. Yeah, I'm seeking God. I believe in God. Give, and it shall be given to you. The one who wants to refuse God's answers is not loyal to Him. And they look for help elsewhere, and they're going to have to keep looking for help elsewhere. There's a time when we run to the doctor that's inappropriate. I'm not saying doctors are inappropriate. You just listen to any advertising and you're going to hear all these drug companies advertising their drugs and they'll list a couple symptoms and it all makes you want to go, huh, I wonder if I have that. Yeah, and then you'll see little clickbait on internet, say a news site or something like that. If you have these symptoms, you are at risk of so-and-so. And it just is all designed for you to go and look and see if you have those symptoms. And then if you had those symptoms, yeah, that happened once. Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. What's the name of that drug? I'm going to have to get some of that. Right? Yeah. I have learned, don't you dare look at those things. Yes. Just keep looking at God. With long life, will He satisfy me and show me His salvation. Amen. See, I don't take their medicine. I take God's medicine. Yeah. Now, nothing wrong with a doctor. There's times we need medicine. That's fine. But He's given us answers. So they refuse the tithe, which rebukes the devourer. They refuse the offering, which brings the harvest. They refuse the pastor, which under the good shepherd leads them to calm waters and green pastures. I wish my life had them green pastures, easy living. Wish we had those still waters. Well, you're going to find it where the pastor leads. Amen. I don't need no pastor. I don't need to go to no church. That's God's answer to leading you to green pastures and calm waters. They refuse it. They're seeking another way. They refuse in-person church where they'll find fellowship and protection. We are stronger together. You can observe this in nature and you can observe Satan do this. He'll scatter the flock, separate the weak, get them out by themselves. You can watch a pack of wolves by video. I don't think any of us have seen pack of wolves. But they start running the herd, and it starts showing up. They don't know which one they're going to kill. Right. It starts showing up, the weak one starts falling behind. And they go, oh, and you know, maybe a group. And then it's finally down to one animal, and they focus on that one animal. And that one animal away from the herd dies. Yes. While I'm standing here, I'm thinking about Cape Buffalo in Africa. Watch them. Lions. And Cape Buffalo don't get along. When a Cape Buffalo is attacked by lions, finally singled out and so on, that buffalo will call and the herd returns. And you can find plenty of video where there may be a buffalo's down. Lion has it by the throat And they're all over it, and here comes the herd back. And the herd starts charging and rushing, and they got these great big horns, and you can find plenty of video. They hook a lion and flip that lion up in the air, and eventually all the lions are scattered because the herd protects the individual. If one just wants to watch video church, now I know there's times for that, but they have a TV preacher, that's my pastor, you've got no herd to protect you. You put out your call, and God provided protection of family in the church. He provided fellowship that strengthens you. Oh, I always turn to God, but they won't attend church. You're disloyal. They go where they want to go instead of where He sends them. That could be they go to the church that tickles them the right way, where He may have assigned them to a church. He places us in the body as it pleases Him. Well, it just doesn't work for me. Maybe you're supposed to help and make it better. There's folks that, I'm one of them, I want to show up after all the cooking is done and just eat. There's folks that want all the work done around here, and they'll show up and then, you know, maybe give us a 3-star rating. That potato salad wasn't great. I make a better potato salad. Well, bring your potato salad. You may have the most anointed potato salad there ever was, and you're not here, so we don't have the anointed potato salad. We got, Right? Anybody can point out what lacks in our church. I'll bet I know more than you do about that. And if you want to talk about what's lacking in this church, I bet I have a longer list than you have. But I still come because the Lord placed me here. So it has to do with where you go to church, where you minister or help or serve in a church. It has to do with where you live also. I want to live in the Rocky Mountains. Just watching a video last night about the Rocky Mountains, the geology and how it's forming and all that, and just, oh, that's not where I'm assigned. I'm assigned here to Illinois. One day, God's going to build me my own Rocky Mountains. You take what you see as your solution. If it's not seeking God and what He wants and where He puts you, okay, you're going to have battles from now on. These few examples and many more indicate a disloyal heart, an unfinished heart, and God cannot show Himself mighty on their behalf. Further, they will have continuing wars and cannot be helped. That's the terrifying part. You can get over there and not even know, and it may take a while to show up, but you're not getting help. He's looking for who He might show Himself mighty on their behalf. And if you're not seeing that mighty working in your life, ask some questions of yourself. Father, we bless You. Thank You. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You desire and You're looking for those that You can show Yourself mighty on their behalf. And I am going to be careful in my heart to be the one to be in the right place at the right time where You assign me, Lord, and stay complete, finished, and loyal to You. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity to see the mighty hand of God as we do just exactly that. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. So good to see you. At least you were in church today, right? Yeah. You're loyal today, right? Very good. Well, God bless you all, and we'll see you next Sunday.